Good morning, everyone. Maria Trusa from Fort May Medical Center and Urgent Care. Thank you so much for listening. We have decided to bring to you a podcast on a daily basis where we are going to be focusing all the energy on how to deal with the virus, the coronavirus that is affecting all of our community, all of humanity, something that we have not experienced. I know in my lifetime, I've never experienced anything like it. So we want to make sure that we are supporting you in every way possible, whether it is coming for your health or mental health, financially, whatever it is, that we are here to support you. I have with me, we're going to be bringing experts that are going to join us in getting information to you that is valuable. So today I have an expert, a clinical psychologist that deals also with trauma, and a friend of Forme. She's been in some of our Facebook Lives, Dr. Edie Chiro. How are you, doctor?
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me. Very happy that you're taking this initiative to inform the community and to make everybody more connected and more aware of what's happening. So thank you so much.
We appreciate that you're making the time to speak with us, because I know how busy you are. Everybody wants you so that you can help us, help the community during these times. So thank you so much, Dr. Chiro. The first question is going to be, how do we keep calm during these times of crisis?
Yeah, this is a very important question because, you know, as I say, it's not only an epidemic and a pandemic because of the virus, but it's also a fear-demic and an anxiety-demic and, danger-demic. So everybody is contagious with fear and anxiety, and that's definitely something that we don't need. And we don't need to be working from fear and to be functioning from anxiety and uncertainty. I understand these are really normal and expected emotions, but we also have a way of regulating them. One of the ways that I recommend is through breathing and meditation. It's taking a few minutes during the day, every day, to exercise your awareness into breathing, into coming back into the present moment, into being able to have all your senses be focused on where you are in the moment. So you're looking around, smelling, touching, listening, and really take the time to do that, really literally as a gym exercise. It's like instead of going to the gym, you're going to train your mind to calm yourself. And then every time you feel anxious, you feel like you're having a panic attack, you feel like you're about to go into this rabbit hole of crazy ideas, or you're being bombarded by information, I suggest you filter the information that you're exposed to, that you're not constantly with the TV or the radio or the social media on, and take the time to be more quiet, to be breathing, and to come back into yourself.
How do you think meditation during this time can empower you?
Meditation allows you to feel that you're more in control, to feel that you're regulating yourself, and you're not like overwhelmed by what's happening around. And the most important thing is that it really brings you back into the present moment. That's what really meditation does. That we're constantly looking into the future for anxiety, for uncertainty, and we're looking into the past with nostalgia or with regret. You know, it takes us out of all those feelings and brings us back into the moment. And it's a really, really good exercise. You know, regardless of the virus or not, I think it's a really good tool to use.
Yeah, and I know people say, oh, it's so hard to meditate because your mind is wandering so fast. And some people say that that meditation brings them anxiety. But there's guided meditation, right? Are there any that you would recommend?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few apps on the phone that I always recommend. And don't think of meditation as a yogi, transcendental, being on the top of the Himalayan mountains. It's not that. It's literally, you know, stopping for a few moments, really stopping your body for a few moments, sitting down, closing your eyes, and breathing 10 times. That's all it is, really. Even if that's the only thing you do, take the time to count to 10 and breathe. There are some really wonderful apps for guided meditation, such as Calm, such as Mindspace, such as Insight. What's it called? Insight?
Yeah.
Reader, something like that?
I use Calm.
They're really, really good. Which one you use?
I use Calm. I've been using
Calm is
it.
Great. Headspace is very popular.
Yeah.
And really, even if you go on YouTube and you type guided meditation, you're going to have tons of, options.
Use
the one that you like the most and start doing it.
Yeah, on YouTube, you can find a lot of free guided meditations. So
yeah.
I know that Calm is, I actually have a subscription that I pay on a monthly basis, but I happen to love Calm. I've been using it for a long time. And what do you think meditation for children?
The best. The best because, you know, you start training the mind early on. So, but, you know, when children are being taught meditation, and this is something that is actually happening in a few countries already, starting with Bhutan, when I used to travel to Bhutan to discover what the country was implementing in terms of wellness and happiness, they actually teach meditation in the classrooms from kindergarten on. This is the way they train the children with discipline. This is the discipline that they use, meditation. They know themselves that if they feel anxious, if they feel nervous, they know how to get into meditative states.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Talking about kids right now, so you know that many of the schools have closed, and the parents are dealing with the fact that they have their kids in their house, and many of the parents are home. And we sometimes feel like we have to hide information from the kids. So how do you feel, how should we communicate with our children during these times of crisis?
Right. No, very important to keep the communication going, to not to lie to the children and pretend that nothing is going on, but also not to over-exaggerate with your own fears or with your own anxiety. Children know exactly what's going on. They are sponges that absorb all the information. So it's important to be very clear with them, to maybe set up some sort of structure at home and have a new routine. Explain to them that, you know, the whole family is going through a new routine. And really make them participants in, like, collaborating in new activities at home in which they can study online, they can do reading and writing activities, they can also play and use a lot of creativity for them, allow them to be expressive in the arts, in the music, in dancing, and suggest to them and participate with them in this, you know, board games and other games that can incorporate the whole family, and they can feel that they're learning something and at the same time staying connected with the family. I think it's really, really important to take advantage of this few weeks, which is not going to be a permanent situation, but it's going to be a few weeks of taking care of each other and being connected with the family.
And getting creative, you know, I have mentioned that.
Extremely.
Yeah, like my daughter goes to piano lessons every Monday, and I reach out to the teacher, and he says to me, I ask him, I said, are you still going to hold the lesson? And he says, you know, I'm doing virtual FaceTime lessons with the children. And last night, my daughter, for 1 hour at 7 o'clock, was with the teacher FaceTime taking her regular piano lesson. So we need to find ways of continuing to live and be creative, you know, so that our normality, you know, still is there in these times of that are very abnormal. So the other thing that of concern is that there are people that live by themselves. You know, there are people that are alone.
Yeah.
And how do you suggest, you know, what are the things that they should be doing so that they do not go into a deep depression by being secluded?
Yes. I mean, that's a really, really good question, because as you know, as we know, there are some immigrants and refugees that are being by themselves, and they're struggling in in this country right now. But in general, being isolated doesn't mean that you have to be isolated from connecting socially with others. So when we are being told to have social distancing, I always want to clarify, and I've been saying that in my social media accounts, do not think that physical isolation means emotional isolation or social isolation or spiritual isolation. I encourage all of us to use technology and virtual sources to stay connected with our loved ones, with our friends, with our community. So I would say the opposite. Reach out to others. If you're living by yourself, be able to call friends, talk to friends, talk to family, find out what your community is doing. Do prayers together, even if it's on Facebook. Participate in webinars like this one and podcasts like this one, in which you can feel like you're part of something that is greater and bigger than yourself. Because staying in isolation and staying disconnected from others and from the world can lead to depression and other things, as we know. So that's one thing that we really don't want anybody to get to. So staying very positive and optimistic, staying connection, being able to share with others how you feel, what your concerns are. Don't keep it to yourself. Pick up the phone, pick up the computer, go on the window and talk to your neighbor on the other side of the street, but stay connected.
I love it. Dr. Shiro, we are going to have you very frequent on this podcast, and we appreciate that you giving us this time, because I know that, you know, you're on television. Everybody wants to get your opinion, and an opinion that is desperately needed, because mental health, if you don't have your mental health, then everything starts crumbling in your life.
Absolutely. I love that you say that, because that's a new thing that I think we should be more aware than ever, that mental health is health.
That's true.
And self-care is the new health care. So let's all really take care of each other, and especially our minds, our emotions, and our relationships, which is the most important.
I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Shiro. We will definitely speak with you again. And thank you for the work that you do for our community, because you're taking
this time
to speak with our community and make a difference. And I'm grateful for that.
Thank you for you. You are doing an incredible job, and you're actually a role model for all of us to follow, and to be a woman and a Latina and an entrepreneur, and you're a light for our community. Thank you
so much. We'll talk again. Thank you to all of you. I hope this is helpful to you. Have a safe day. Take care.
Thank you.